the Apostle. It's one of the major feasts which our prayer book says supersedes the observance of a normal Sunday, when the calendar day of that feast, in the case of St. Barnabas, June the 11th, which is today, when that calendar day falls on Sunday, then the feast supersedes the observance of the Sunday. So what does all that mean? It means, in short, that the church is telling us that this is an important day, right? And that Barnabas is an important person. Barnabas is being held out to us for our consideration. So the first question might be, who was Barnabas? The church calls Barnabas an apostle, following what the book of Acts says about him, even though Barnabas was not one of the 12, right? We often think of the apostles as the 12, but the scriptures refer also to Barnabas as an apostle and to St. Paul, who was not one of the 12, as an apostle. Almost all that we know for certain about Barnabas comes from the Acts of the Apostles and from the epistles of St. Paul. His original name was Joseph, but the leaders of the early church gave him the surname Barnabas, which means son of encouragement or son of consolation, as the King James puts it. He was a Jew, a member of the tribe of Levi, and a native of Cyprus. And as a Levite, he probably traveled a good deal to Jerusalem to perform his Levitical duties, and was probably living in Jerusalem in the first years after our Lord's crucifixion and resurrection. His cousin, we know from Colossians, was John Mark, better known as Mark, for whom the Gospel of Mark is named, and who probably wrote the Gospel of Mark. Barnabas seems to have been a man of means, a man of wealth. He was certainly a man of property, because in the early days after Pentecost, we know from Acts again that he was among those disciples who sold his property and donated the proceeds to the church. Luke, who is usually kind of reticent in describing the character of the figures that appear in his writings, says in today's epistle reading from Acts that Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, which is effusive praise coming from St. Luke. Barnabas was also an early acquaintance of Saul of Tarsus, who would later become St. Paul. After Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus, you'll be familiar with that from the great Caravaggio painting probably, but after Paul's conversion, or Saul's conversion, before he became Paul, it was Barnabas who vouched for Saul when he came to Jerusalem and wanted to meet with Peter and James and John. The disciples at Jerusalem were afraid of Saul because he had been a persecutor of the church, but it was Barnabas who brought him from Tarsus and introduced him to the other disciples. And after this, Saul returned to his home city of Tarsus, and he lived in obscurity for some years, while Barnabas appears to have remained at Jerusalem. And in those early years following Pentecost, some Jewish believers in Jesus, among them some men from Cyprus, Barnabas's home country, and who were probably acquaintances of Barnabas, went to the city of Antioch in Syria and preached the Lord Jesus, it says in Acts, to the Gentiles. And this was remarkable because the preaching of the gospel had only been to Jews up to that point. A great number of those Gentiles at Antioch believed, and word reached the community of Jewish believers at Jerusalem, which is where today's epistle reading from Acts picks up the story. The church at Jerusalem decided then to send Barnabas to Antioch to check out what had happened. And although Barnabas was a Jew, he warmly welcomed the Gentile converts there. And there at Antioch, during that mission, Barnabas had two ideas that would radically affect the subsequent history of the world. The first was that what he had witnessed there at Antioch meant that the Gentiles could be recipients of the grace of God given in the Messiah of Israel, in Jesus Christ. And therefore, that the whole world was a mission field for Jesus. And Barnabas' second idea was that his old acquaintance, Paul of Tarsus, formerly a persecutor of the church, but now a believer in Jesus, who had been living in obscurity for some years in Tarsus, Barnabas' second idea was that Paul, that guy, would be a good candidate for this missionary work of preaching to the Gentiles. And so he set out for Tarsus to fetch Paul from his obscurity, and they returned together and spent a year at Antioch, meeting with the new believers and teaching them the faith. Acts says that it was this new community of believers at Antioch, formed by Paul and Barnabas, that were the first people in history to be called Christians. Today's epistle reading also mentions a famine that occurred around the year AD 45 during the reign of Claudius Caesar and that severely affected Judea. Barnabas and Paul were sent by the Christians at Antioch to deliver aid to the Judean Christians. And that's where today's epistle leaves us. But we know a bit more about Barnabas from the rest of Acts and from the writings of St. Paul. When Barnabas returned with Paul to Antioch after that mission to Judea, they brought Barnabas's cousin, Mark, with them. The Antiochians felt that the time had come to preach the gospel far and wide, and they commissioned Barnabas and Paul for this work, laying hands on them and sending them out with Mark as an assistant. They went first to Barnabas's native land of Cyprus, and from there to Asia Minor, what is now Turkey, and at the city of Perga, Mark left them for reasons that we don't know, but Paul took it as an act of desertion. He and Barnabas continued on and preached the gospel in Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and throughout the whole region. They met with a lot of hardships and with persecutions and mob violence, but at every stop they also made converts and established churches and ordained presbyters. And by the time they returned again to Antioch, they were able to say that they felt that God had, quote, opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. But at Antioch, they found that some Christian preachers, meanwhile, who were associated with St. James the Apostle, had arrived there in Antioch from Jerusalem and were saying that Gentile men had to be circumcised in order to become Christians. And Barnabas and Paul saw this both as wrong and as a practical impediment to evangelization. Most of the men in the congregation would probably agree with them about this second point, at least. Imagine having to be circumcised as an adult in order to be a Christian. So Barnabas and Paul set out for Jerusalem to seek the wisdom of the older apostles, who, after considering the matter, agreed with Barnabas and Paul that circumcision was indeed unnecessary. Thanks be to God. When another preaching mission was proposed by the Antiochian church, Paul and Barnabas had a sharp disagreement about whether to take Mark with them. Barnabas wanted to take him, but Paul remained annoyed about Mark having abandoned their first mission, so they went their separate ways. Barnabas and Mark went to Cyprus, and Paul took a disciple named Silas with him and revisited the churches that he and Barnabas had visited on their first mission. Not much is known about Barnabas after this. He and Paul remained friends, we know that, despite their disagreement. And we know this because Paul mentions him fondly some years later when he wrote 1 Corinthians. And a few years after that, in the early 60s AD, Paul was a prisoner in Rome, and Mark was with him as a disciple, which may be an indication that by then Barnabas had died, though we don't know for sure. According to early Christian tradition, Barnabas had been stoned to death for his faith in Jesus, dying a martyr. So, why are we here today, venerating the memory of St. Barnabas? Three reasons jump out at me. There may be many, but three present themselves to me. Firstly, with a very few exceptions, like St. Paul and several of the 12, there was no man esteemed with greater esteem in the first generation of Christians, than St. Barnabas. He was indeed in the top rank of men esteemed by the first Christians. Secondly, and relatedly, it was Barnabas's idea to recruit St. Paul to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And as we have seen, he accompanied Paul in his first missionary journey. Why is that important? Had Barnabas not been inspired in this way, Christianity might well have died on the vine, like many other first century religious movements, and we would not be sitting here today. And the whole edifice of the social order that we now take for granted, with all of its myriad of particulars informed by the principles of the gospel that Barnabas preached, things like human rights, freedom of conscience, equality under the law, and so forth, would never have been built. We wouldn't be sitting here not just because we wouldn't be Christians, but because America as we know it would not exist were it not for Barnabas. So in a very concrete sense, we have Barnabas to thank. Thirdly, and finally, Barnabas gave all that he had in the service of the gospel, everything. He sold his property and gave the proceeds to the church. He spent years enduring all manner of hardships and violence and opposition in order to proclaim the gospel and nurture the faith of fledgling churches all over the east end of the Mediterranean. And finally, he imitated our Lord in laying down his life for the sake of the kingdom of God, dying the death of a martyr. And as Jesus says in today's gospel, greater love hath no man than this. So commemorating St. Barnabas today by way of thanking God for his life and his labors and asking for the grace to be like him in his singular devotion to the gospel of Jesus. I want to conclude with an 8th century liturgical poem written by a guy named Paul the Deacon, who I think was Spanish, in honor of St. Barnabas. It goes like this. With the apostles, Barnabas the Levite shines in the glory won by many labors. Through love of Jesus, he despised as nothing all that he suffered. Land and possessions he abandoned also. Charity's ardor marked his earnest teaching. Antioch's converts won the name of Christians, proof of their fervor. Quickly perceiving Paul's sincere conversion, gladly Barnabas welcomed such a keen companion. By divine choosing, many miles they traveled, spreading the gospel. Tireless and eager, he would spare no effort, preaching Christ Jesus by his words and his goodness, till martyr's glory sealed his never-failing, lifelong devotion. Lord God Almighty, through the intercession of your great servant, give us strength to labor for our salvation, that we may in heaven praise you forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.